Good morning. I'm going to be talking a little bit more about the telephone broadcast technology that we are using. And one of the things I will kind of preface by saying is this talk focuses specifically more on a registry-based reminder recall in where the registry is sending out the reminder recalls for the providers. So because we're sending them out for providers, of course, we wanted to look at some cost savings. First of all, I do want to acknowledge the people that assisted with the development of this project, and that would be Tanya Geiger, the director of our immunization program, Fumi Otabella, who is my health educator, and Alice Holguin, my health education assistant. Both Fumi and Alice have spent countless hours working on the actual details of the telephone technology that we're using. A little bit on my overview is I'm going to give a history of the reminder recall for Care Inland Empire and focus specifically, most of the talk is going to focus specifically on what we're doing in Riverside County, why we need to change. And as everyone knows, money changes, and so there is also the need for the change. A little bit about what we went through when selecting the telephone broadcast technology system that we're using, a little bit about our broadcast details and some of the challenges that we have found by implementing this, our lessons learned, and then what our next steps are going to be with this telephone technology. So as a little bit of a background, Care Inland Empire began as a pediatric immunization registry. It was a homegrown software, first known as the Inland Empire Immunization Tracking System and later renamed to VaxTrack, because I will be quite honest, every time I said Inland Empire Immunization Tracking System, I wanted to say EIEIO. That just automatically, and I actually was one of the people pushing for the name change. We became Lifespan in July 2009 when we transitioned to the CARE statewide software. And you'll see from the picture that I have just Riverside County Circle because that's kind of where I'm focusing my talk. But the Care Inland Empire is that whole green section down at the bottom. It's Region 8. We cover over 27,000 square miles. We currently have, as of the beginning of this month, over 9.9 million immunizations just in our region alone. This is not the state of California stats, but it's just for Care Inland Empire region. And we have over 955,000 patients with immunizations in their records and almost 1,000 enrolled providers. Now, the history of reminder recall in the Inland Empire, we began mailing ever since we joined the registry in 2000, and actually it was 2001 when we started sending out our first reminders. We were mailing the reminder recalls on behalf of the enrolled providers, and for eventually, and then, you know, we started adding the two health plans that exchanged data with us electronically. This was done as an incentive for provider participation. We sent it out for children from birth to 36 months. So that's when most of the children need most of their shots. So we're giving out, the providers themselves don't have to worry about as much financially in terms of the reminder recall. We also loaded our AVIS data, so we did the birth certificates and we cross-checked with the death certificates because we did not want to send out postcards to parents whose children have died. But we were sending out a maximum of four reminders. If that child had no immunizations recorded in our registry, we would send out a kind of a reminder notice at 2, 4, 6, and 12 months of age, explaining the importance of immunizations and referring those parents to call us, either the San Bernardino County Public Health Department or the Riverside County Public Health Department, if they did not have insurance or they did not have they needed some place to go to get, if they didn't have a doctor, they had some kind of payer source, but no doctor. We really got more calls from the parents of two-month-old children, and it's usually because either their child, they had insurance, but their child wasn't yet on their insurance, or they just hadn't, they've applied for Medi-Cal, what we call Medicaid in California, and they hadn't gotten that yet. We also send, of course, three recalls for children when they were due for IMS, coming due for immunizations, when they were overdue, and then when they're about 2 months overdue. So a child theoretically could receive up to seven reminders for a single immunization series if, let's say, they started at 12 months and didn't get their shots done earlier. So in Riverside, now we're going to drop down into more detail with Riverside County alone. Between January 2001, when we started sending out for our family care centers, and then as we added more private providers, through the month before we transitioned to the CARE software, we had spent over $300,000 in postage. And this slide kind of gives a breakdown, and unfortunately, I cannot go back earlier to the first three fiscal years because we no longer have that specific data. We changed our system at work, and we lost a few of our records. But you will see that we had almost the first year that I have here in fiscal year 04-05, we spent almost $50,000 just in postage cost alone to send out 215,000 reminder postcards. It dropped down the next year, and that is because in that year was the start, and it went over into 06-07. We had a six-month period where the registry did not send out any reminder postcards. We were making some changes, and we, you know, like everyone, we were having resource issues. We had one person that was available to make these technological changes that we needed to have done to the postcard job. And unfortunately, he kept getting pulled to do, because he was one of a few IT people in San Bernardino County, he kept getting pulled to do other responsibilities. So we dropped down for those 2 years to about 30,000, went back up. And, of course, postage costs increase over that time. Now, beginning in fiscal year 09-10, that is when we switched to CARE. And one of the things I want to state about that is we stopped sending out postcards to all providers. But because we are the health department, we continued to send postcards on behalf of our local family care centers that are with the Department of Public Health. And then in fiscal 10-11, what I have, of course, this is only through February, you see that we have a drop, but that, again, is only part of the year, and it excludes the pertussis postcards. We are also mailing out a pertussis message because of our epidemic in California that goes out to the mothers of newborns, and we're using our reminder recall system for that thanks to our birth loads that we do into CARE Inland Empire. But if I were to add that, we would add about another $6,000 in cost and about another little over 18,000 more postcards for that. And, you know, as everyone knows, there are additional costs associated with doing reminder recall besides postage. There are material costs. For us, that included a high-volume network printer, of course, toner. You got to print. You need ink to print. The postcards and or address labels, and we actually use both. And we have, of course, staff time that it takes to print the postcard, monitor the printer, make sure it doesn't jam. I can remember my one of my staff always having to stop and clear out jams because those four-ups that we had, we actually printed our own four-up postcards that were perforated. Sometimes they would unperforate themselves in the printer. And then, of course, they would have to tear apart the four-up cards and put the labels on them, and if they needed labels, get them ready for mailing. And that can add $10,000 or more to cost per year. So I thought, all right, what would it look like? What would our reminder recall cards look like if we added all those other costs? What are the overall postage for reminder recall? And I need to say this has a big assumption, and that big assumption is because we weren't tracking this, that it was only 8 hours of staff time per week for one person. And I do know it was roughly, when I think back to what we did, it was roughly 8 hours a week that my help desk clerk was spending on reminder recall, but there were times that it was more than 8 hours, and there were times when more than one person was involved. So you could see, you know, in 0405, $60,000. It, you know, it added over $11,000 to our cost. But we were averaging between $7,000 and $8,000 after that. And then I did not include when we stopped doing it for all of the providers. I did not include those costs here. And I as the slide said, I do exclude the initial cost of the high volume network printer. So we had a couple of reasons for needing to change how we did our reminder recall. And the first was our transition to the new registry software. When we were Backstrack, reminder recall was a back-end job. It was not something that was available even to me as a system administrator. It was technical, behind the scenes, and we had a report that was printed out, PDF'd, and faxed to us. We actually had two reports. One was just a PDF of all of reminder postcards. The other was a PDF of all the call lists that we had to then print and mail out to the providers so that they knew which of their patients were getting postcards. And since that report was no longer back end and it was available just as this in the suite of the reports under care, it could also be run on the individual provider instead of all providers in the registry being lumped together. The other big change is this is a lifespan registry. There's no age limitations on that. A provider could choose to run up to the age of 5. They could run for all ages. They could pick a specific age group. Whereas in Backstrack, we ran, again, to remind you, only up to the age of 3. And looking at these, we knew if we continued to do, our costs would increase greatly. And then we also had resource limitations. Like everybody in this economy, we have had funding constraints. And my biggest funding constraint was a 60% loss of funding. Personnel constraints. My other personnel constraint is that I've lost staff. I am now 1.5 FTE that I supervise that are doing the all the registry functions. So that made it necessary to look at telephone broadcast technology. And given what I just talked about with funding and constraint, what is my big bottom line cost? So that's what we looked mostly at when we were selecting a broadcast technology. Now, there are other systems. And, you know, I asked Kevin, I said, oh, I'd love to know what your different vendors were that you use, because I really don't want to promote one vendor over another either. And when we were looking at this, we were looking at the costs were range from free. In some providers, they were free, but there were some limitations to approximately 9 cents a call unit. And some of the limitations that we saw were on how many broadcasts you could do a month or how many maybe the length of your message or the number of messages you can send out, and as well as the number of broadcasts. And we couldn't have that kind of limitation. And we also noticed that there could be volume discounts based on the number of calls you made. The more calls, the better the volume discount. And that some companies also offered free credits for just for sign-up. Sign-up, we'll give you this free. It's like that. But wait, there's more when you watch those infomercials on TV. The other thing is we were looking at the features because, yes, cost to us was really important, but so were the features. We needed something that was easy to use but also something with some flexibility. And as Kevin said in his talk, there are different options with these vendors. Our vendor that we have does offer voice and text services. We are not using text services as of yet, but this is something, if we are able to continue using, if funding allows us to continue to use this service, then we will look at trying to get into some text-based messaging as well, because I think that's going to be a bit less expensive for us. And some of them actually will do a voice message and then follow up with something via mail as well. And then the other key thing that we were, and I wished I would have gotten a bit more information on this because I was a little unclear about this when we signed up with our vendor, is how often are these calls that do not go through reattempted? We knew there's going to be some reattempts, but my big thing on in selecting a vendor, if I could go back and change, is do any vendors allow the client to determine how they want the reattempts to go? Because I would have loved to have said, okay, I'm going to broadcast something during the day, but I want my reattempt to be in an evening hour. And ours just has it set for like 15 minutes and then another 15 minutes and then another 15 minutes, something like that. So, and that is programmed into their software. As far as benefits of the telephone broadcast technology, when you mail a reminder postcard, a stamp right now, it's going up next month, I believe, but right now a stamp costs 28 cents, whether that postcard is delivered or not. And with the telephone broadcast technology, we have not had any charges for any unanswered calls, busy calls, invalid phone numbers, or incomplete calls. We can record our own message, which is wonderful. So, again, unlike a robo-dialer that's something kind of automated, we have one of my staff members has recorded a message in English and in Spanish, and we also can determine the phone number to use. So since these are going to our Family Care Center patients, we give them the appointment line because we are trying to keep calls from going directly to the Family Care Center but going to their appointment line. And then, of course, we do get a detailed broadcast report that gives us idea about who, actually down to the individual, of whose call went through and who didn't, so we know which children we have to follow up on. So if you look at currently, we're doing a one-minute call. We're using two call units per call because we have to do 30 seconds in English and 30 seconds in Spanish. And we're saving 20 cents over the cost of postage. But one of the things we did find is if we were able to do 100% by phone, then dollar for dollar, we could reach 350% more people than we would if just doing postcards alone or the combination of postcards and the phone calls for reminder recall. So setting up the broadcast, it is a three-step process. The first is going through the registry to determine which children need shots. We're running the reminder recall list. We have to export it to Excel because with what we're doing, here's where we got the manual intervention. We have to clean up that data in that export to take out everyone who does not have a phone number and everyone who has opted out of receiving recalls by phone. Then we need to modify the spreadsheet to remove the other unnecessary data that was from our reminder recall, because this is what we're exporting is basically a reminder recall call list that gives information on what shots are due, et cetera. We have to basically bring this down to four pieces of information per child: first name, last name, phone number, and we keep their care ID number in there so it's easier to go in and double check on any children we need to do. Then we're going to run the postcard job and commit the batch because later we're going to have to run those postcards. And we save it as a PDF file. And that approximate time is about 40 minutes per provider site for my staff to do that. And again, it could be longer, it could be shorter. It just depends on the size of the recall report. And we typically do this process the day before we set up the broadcast. Now, in step two, when we set up the broadcast, we, again, are using our telephone broadcast software or service to send the reminder messages. If we have not already done so, but we did. At the beginning, we created a standard message, and we have not changed that message since then. But when you are creating a message, your ideal is no more than 60 seconds. But if you can, if you have the ability, we didn't want to record two separate messages, one in English and one in a separate one in Spanish, because our reminder recall system doesn't filter by age, or not, excuse me, not by age, by language. It doesn't filter by language. So we had the one 60-second call. And then we create and upload our contacts for the spreadsheet, schedule our broadcast, so we make sure the correct date and time is important, and I think really the emphasis is on the correct time, because you do not want anyone getting calls at 2 in the morning instead of 2 in the afternoon. And then after the broadcasts go through, we evaluate the broadcast results. We look for any invalid or incomplete numbers. Those we know we have to make sure that they're added to our list of kids to select out for postcards. And any busy or no answered calls, we reschedule. We reschedule another broadcast for a different time with just those children. So we're creating a whole new broadcast again so we could try to reach those parents. And that takes about 20 minutes per provider site. And then finally, we have to print our PDF file of reminder postcards, identify and keep only those patients who need to have the postcard mailed. We mail the reminder postcards for on the excluded and opt-out and the invalid and incomplete calls, which takes, again, about 20 minutes per provider, more or less depending on the size of the print job. So here's our broadcast results from what we've got to date so far. You'll see that 78% of the calls that we have sent out have been completed, where only 12% have been a busy no answer, and only 1% non-completed. Now, the not completed, that could be a call timeout. It could be we did have one area where the circuits on the phone circuits were busy, and so those calls didn't go through. And then it also can include those parents who choose to opt out, because when they get the phone message, they do get the choice at that time when they're first listening to opt out. And 9% have been invalid numbers. And we do really think that some of those invalid numbers are, some of it is just providers not, you know, our family care center is not updating numbers, but a lot of it has to do with people, with the economy. Maybe they don't have the money to pay the phone bill. The phone bill gets turned off later. It gets turned back on. Or they decide to drop their home phone landline in favor of a cell phone, and the clinic doesn't have that information. When we rebroadcast our busy no answers, I picked up about another 75% of those, and so that would then bring our completed call rate up to about 87%. So looking at the details down on the money level, and we got a little later start than we had planned on this, but you'll see that the cost for doing the phone versus the cost for doing, if we had to do it all by postcard, is about a third of what it would be to send out the postcards. And since we did have to do a hybrid, you see we still have some savings between if we had to send all by postcards versus the hybrid of using the telephone technology plus the postcards. But the mailing does add a lot of cost. Challenges we've had. Again, the problem with the phone numbers. We've had phone numbers missing. Of course, phone numbers could be outdated or invalid. And I really think a lot of that, again, stems from with the way the registry is used in our family care center, and with the flow, they are not getting those phone numbers checked while the patients are in there, because probably like a lot of people have seen with their provider offices, data entry into the registry is kind of an afterthought because they're very busy, and so it's after the patient leaves that they go in and enter the data instead of while the patient's there. We also discovered a little software issue, because when you go to add a patient into the registry, you're able to select your defaults at that point for reminder recall, and we're an opt-out registry, not an opt-in, and so parents should have to opt out of reminder recall. But when it came time to updating an existing address in the registry, the defaults were different. So it was more like parents had to opt in to the reminder recall. And when we found that little glitch, we had to first train the users to remember to go in and verify that the defaults haven't been changed if they were updating an address, because we had a high number of patients that showed that they were opting out. And so when I look at the registry cost, and if we had these defaults corrected from the beginning, so this is just assuming, looking at my numbers, if we didn't have to, if I could take out all these people that had opted out, you would see that the reminder recall cost by phone would increase by about 20-21%, whereas the cost for doing it by sending those additional postcards would decrease by more than half. And ultimately, our overall savings would be increased as well. So you know, if I could make some changes now with our software, I do want our patients to be able to hear the message in their primary language, and that would, ideally with the service we're using, I wish they had how so many times you listen to an automated messaging system and it will tell you, say, in Spanish to press 1 to hear the message in Spanish or press 2, whatever. I wish they had that option. They don't. For our patients to hear the message in their primary language, our registry would, A, have to sort by language, but, B, we would have to record 2 separate messages, and that would just add to the staff time right now with what they had to do. And I wish that our registry reminder recall report would have some changes made so that we could specifically run reminder recall for a telephone broadcast service that only lists the specific fields that we needed to minimize staff intervention, and that would also allow us to automatically print out postcards for any patients that had no phone number or who had opted out of reminder recall by phone. So that, again, would minimize the staff intervention time. And then it'd be also nice to automatically print those postcards for all excluded patients that were somehow to identify those excluded patients. We can print a postcard for, say, one patient, and I think I'm going to make a suggestion that they allow us to choose at least 4 patients that we could print a single, so we could print a single page of 4 up postcards at a time to not waste postcards. Some of our lessons learned have been switching to telephone broadcast technology may not eliminate postage, but it does increase our savings. And if providers aren't paying for the cost of reminder recall, they may not be as careful about the data. And so that's one of the problems we've been having with our clinics is about verifying phone numbers. They also are not good about managing their patient list for their MOGIs and also ensuring that their vaccine history is entered. When you're not managing your patient list and when you don't ensure your vaccine histories are entered appropriately, you are going to be generating some unnecessary reminder recall, which then increased your cost. When researching vendors, I think it's really important to make sure you're comparing apples with apples as far as call units, because we could not come up, you know, when it came time to doing our BPO with our vendor, we could not say, oh, we want this one. We had to go, you know, our internal support services has to go out and do the bids, and we could say we recommend this person. But I did have to talk to the person doing the bidding, to collecting the bids to make sure, okay, we're looking at, you want to look at a 30-second call unit so that they're not saying, oh, this one's going to be cheaper, and find out it's only maybe a 15-second call unit. And if possible, make changes to your registry to minimize the manual intervention by staff, such as extracting lists for phone numbers and creating postcards for excluded patients. Also, managing the reminder recall can involve substantial staff time, such as clearing out patients with no phone and sorting through the existing reminder recall postcards so that we can just take, okay, these people don't need postcards, these people do. And then, as I said earlier, if 100% of our reminder recall activities could be from the telephone broadcast technology, we would reach 350% more people dollar for dollar. And our next steps, as everyone knows, California has an epidemic. We just passed AB, Assembly Bill 354, which is adding Tdap as a required vaccine for school entry. For this upcoming school year, the 2011-12, it's required for all 7th through 12th graders. And in 2012 to 2013 and beyond, it's only going to be for 7th graders. What we are doing is we're going to use our telephone broadcast technology to do 2 Tdap reminder postcards, broadcasts. And we're not doing postcards. We're just going to be doing the broadcast. We'll be running it on all active patients in care. And we've already completed using the reminder recall report to identify. But then we discovered that our reminder recall report is excluding patients that had received a TD. And that reminder recall hadn't been updated for Tdap. So they're making changes to that, but they did a second report that is for Tdap, only, and with that, I haven't run that. But our first report, just on a reminder recall, we identified over 107,000 children that would fit the 7th through 12th grade entry. And we're going to use this to supplement all the other reminder and activities that are being conducted by the local schools and by providers to get those children in, because there is a big fear that parents will wait till the day school starts and then want to get reminder recall. So we're trying to get them in early. So the more information we can go out, the more layering of information, the better for the parents. All right, and that is it. Thank you.
Thank you, Letty. Very quickly, we only have a few minutes. I ask attendees to please approach the microphone if you're asking a question, and so that way we can record it and direct your question to the presenters. Thank you.
Hi, Alan Hinman. Appreciated both presentations. I think a couple of things about Kevin's. One, it's surprising to me that all of the systems had the capability of generating reminders in some fashion, and apparently had never, seemingly not really communicated that to the providers, I would think. The other thing is that if my math is right, you had 9 out of 22 who were doing some form of reminder recall. Is that right?
Yes.
Which is about 40%, which is not notably different from the 35% that we found 10 years or more ago.
I don't know.
It's a great question. We didn't evaluate why they were or were not using reminder across the board, other than the fact that some of these jurisdictions, I think, have become reliant on health departments. So we're talking to
the practices themselves, right? So if you're in thus and such county and for all these years local health department's been pushing it out, I mean, there's really, I think that reliance is behind the scenes the reason, really.
Just a quick question about the Riverside system. What is the interval that your broadcasts go out, and how did you choose that?
The interval?
Not for the teenagers, but for just sort of your baseline activity system.
What we're doing is our interval is we run reminder recall once a month, and we are sending that broadcast for everyone that is coming due. And then we have a second broadcast that we do for everyone who has not returned. So we're doing two broadcasts, and then the clinics have to do the third and final follow-up, because we're trying to at least get them to take some responsibility towards it. And then the interval with the busy no answer, we send that out within the same week of the first broadcast.
I have one quick question as moderator. Both of the presentations were excellent. I really appreciate the opportunity to listen to both of them. For both of the presenters, my interest is the capability of AutoDialer to send these messages out built within the product, or is there a third-party vendor engaged at sending these reminders out? Kevin?
You're specifically talking about the AutoDialer or any of these modalities?
Any of these modalities. It seemed to me that I was getting mixed readings that, that the vendors themselves, the EMR vendors, were providing this level of capability, or is that the extract of the data from the EMR vendor provided to a third-party vendor?
Correct. Option B. So, right, to be clear, I'm unaware of an EHR or practice management vendor that supports this sort of technology. I wouldn't be surprised if something like that did appear, but I'm unaware of it. The four vendors that I was talking about, it's a separate vendor, so it's more like, you know, if your practice has all scripts or something like that, download from that and send it to one of these four vendors, not the EHR. So that's the model that we're working with.
And that's the same with us. We use a separate outside vendor, and we have to extract the data. And then what we're doing is we're actually going to a website to upload the data ourselves and schedule everything. And then once we basically hit the, say, this is the time we want the call, then the vendor takes over and does the call.
Yes.
Hi, I have a question for Letty.
I'd like if you could clarify a little bit for me. You mentioned, or it sounded to me like when you generate the list for the reminders, when you generate the list, do you do this one list per provider? Because we're in Nevada, we're engaged in a project where we generate a massive list monthly statewide, and it's a little much to manage right now, and we don't have that connection to the provider. So if you could speak to that.
Yeah, we used to do what you're doing now. We used to do one massive list. But what we're doing now with the CARE software is we do one list per provider, and we are currently working with 10 providers. So multiply that 40 minutes by 10, and you'll understand why they do things the day before. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Just a clarification, the providers are private practices?
There are public health clinics. There are 10 public health clinics.
Okay.